Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." Jesus said to them, "Give them some food yourself." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets."
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Thank you. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will have eternal life." Jesus says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life within you. Amen, amen, I say to you, this is truly my flesh and my blood." Today we celebrate the great feast of Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. As St. John Paul II tells us, it is the source and summit of our lives. When I was young, I liked magic. I thought it was kind of cool how somebody could play with your mind, that your eyes see one thing, but yet another thing is really happening. It began with my grandfather, who had this really cool magic trick he did. He had this light bulb, right? And he would stick it in his ear and it would light. And as a little kid, you're looking at him thinking, "How's that happen?" Then he takes it and he gives it to you and you stick it in your ear and it doesn't light. And then he would say, "You got to rub your foot on the ground." And he'd rub his foot on the ground, stick it in his ear, it'd light. You'd do it, it wouldn't work. It was the greatest magic trick I ever saw in my entire life. Then my brother got one of those little magic kits, you know, the one that has the, you put the coin in it and you close it and it disappears. My favorite was the jug. You filled it with water, right? And then you filled a glass up, turned the jug over, and then there was more water. It was amazing to me. Magic. Until one day I found where my grandfather hid his magic light bulb, and when I found that it was a piece of steel wool that he put in his ear to make the connection, then it was all over for me. I realized what magic really was. It was lies and deceit. See, there's a huge difference between what magic is and what mystery is. And today we celebrate one of the greatest mysteries of our Catholic faith, that the bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Here's the difference. Magic is something that appears to be, but isn't. It appeared that my grandfather was making this light bulb light through his ear, but he was not at all. The coin was in a secret slot, and there was a lot more water in that jug. Magic is a deception and lies to what we expect to see that really isn't. But mystery is totally the opposite. Mystery is this. Mystery is something that appears not to be, but really is. It appears not to be, but really is. And that is truly what we have in the Holy Eucharist. It appears to us, even after consecration, that there's bread and that there's wine. We not only see it, but we taste bread and we taste wine. But we know that it really isn't. That it is truly and completely changed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. See, what a mystery is that what we perceive it to be with our senses, by the loving power of God, is transformed into something we could only hope and dream for. Only what God himself could provide. Those mysteries are all true in the same fashion. How God can be three, but yet one. How bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Today I'm wearing this brand new vestment that the Christian Mothers bought me with Mother Seton on it. I'm very proud to wear it. And I thought I'd wear it today because I wanted to share a couple stories about Mother Seton and her understanding of the Holy Eucharist before she was Catholic. Her love and treasure of mystery. Mother Seton was a Episcopalian. And Episcopalians believed exactly what we think of when we look at the Eucharist. They said that it was a sacrilege for anybody to think that the bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. What is it anyways? Some kind of magic trick? You know the words hocus pocus? Those are the Latin words part of the consecration of the Mass. Why do you think they're used in magic tricks? To make fun of me. To make fun of you. Because those who do not believe in mystery think we're being deceived and lied to. But Mother Seton was friends with the Flecky family, and they were good Catholics. In fact, they were high-standing Catholics, and they were afforded in their home to have a chapel. And within their chapel, they had a tabernacle where the Blessed Sacrament remained. And Mother Seton would watch them go into their chapel with great reverence and prayer. And when she would go into that chapel with them, she felt drawn closer to the Lord, but yet she did not understand fully why. And when she asked her friends, they explained to her perfectly what was in the tabernacle, was the ever divine presence of God. They explained to her transubstantiation, how the bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ, how when the priest says the words of consecration, the accidents remain, but yet the substance is changed. The accidents are the appearances of what we see and what we taste. But the substance is no longer that of bread, nor of wine. And when she heard this explanation, she was drawn even closer to such a gift. She wrote to her sister and she said, if we could only believe what they believe, that the Lord Jesus Christ would humble himself to appear as bread and wine, but yet be truly present so that we could eat him and partake of him, be nourished by him. She even quoted in her letter a few of the scripture passages that I began with today. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within me. Mother Seton questioned, would Jesus say this if he was not going to allow it to be the true gift of himself? Cardinal John Henry Newman, when he himself as an Anglican desired to put down the church, to put away foolish ideas of the Holy Eucharist, he read the early church fathers trying to find that place for which he could see that the church went off on some half-cocked idea. And all of a sudden, he came to realize that he was denying the mystery of God. The powerful love of his words that can make anything happen. And he wrote beautifully. He said, if the voice of God can speak all things into existence, if he could allow his son to take on flesh, why could he not change bread and wine into the true body and blood of his son? It was because of the Holy Eucharist. It was because of her desire to be in that close communion with Jesus that Mother Seton became a Catholic. She was sitting in her Episcopalian church feeling empty inside. staring out the window to the church across the street, the Catholic church. And she kept praying to the Lord. She said, if you're truly present there, then bring me to you. And just as she was making that prayer, she saw the priest come out of the church with two altar servers carrying candles. He was carrying the Holy Eucharist to take to the sick. And Mother Seton said, not only do you come for us, but you come in our greatest hour of need. It would not be long after that she would convert to Catholicism. And on the day of her first Holy Communion, she writes that, I walked the 2 miles as if my feet never touched the ground. It was as if I was flying to the Lord. And when I finally received him, I said, you are mine now. And I am yours. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life within you. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. That's why St. John Paul II says this, what we do here, what we come to adore in the Holy Eucharist, in the tabernacle, is the source and summit of our lives. Because what mysteries do, they do not deceive or portray lies. They transform us beyond the reality of our lives into the life of perfection. Into the life of Christ himself. So what should be our mission this week? I think it should be first and foremost to take very seriously that magic tricks will deceive you, trick your mind, and therefore entertainment, therefore people in Hollywood. But mysteries, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, mysteries where our senses cannot fathom, set our hearts with joy and our souls with eternal peace. If you grasp the mystery, I'm not saying completely understand it, but grasp it with the love for which it is given, your lives will no longer be the same. Second part of our mission this week should be how we receive communion this morning. I ask you to do this. When you come to receive communion this morning, pretend as if it was the first time you ever received. Imagine as Mother Seton did, not even walking, but almost flying to the Lord. And when you come forward to the priest or the minister, make a proper throne for the Lord with your hands. Make your amen be truly that for which you believe and desire to believe more deeply. And when you return to your seat, utter that one simple prayer that Mother Seton uttered. Now, Lord, you are mine, and I am yours. And I promise.